So essentially, this is a title, and the main point, I don't want to discuss any technical details. I want to give a big picture because it's obviously that people do different physics, and it is very difficult actually to follow the technical details. So let me start from what I want, my goal. What? Pointer is here, okay. So essentially, my goal is to support what actually Pierre already started to discuss. My goal is to support the big picture that you have some kind of constituents. And it is in some sense, it is a dual representation of low energy Lagrangian we have. And identify this constituents with instanton quarks, which people discuss in late 70s, early 80s. And I was trying to understand, actually, we discussed with Pierre why people stopped doing such kind of physics, because actually it is definitely something interesting is happening there. And more than that, I actually try to argue that this idea works not only for SUN, but it works for arbitrary gauge group exactly in the just the same way. So it is not specific of SUN. Okay, the way how actually I want to follow. It is some kind of, I will use some kind of technical trick. It's well-known trick, but nevertheless, it is a trick. So I want to write down my very nice Lagrangian, which I know very well, in completely different form. And typically people don't do this because it really make no sense to describe, let's say, chiral Lagrangian in terms of some kind of statistical ensemble. But nevertheless, we shall see that the statistical ensemble, actually, it's exactly instanton quarks people discuss from a semi-classical viewpoint. The next point I want to present, that essentially there is a very nice phase, so-called color superconductor, and I believe people didn't discuss color superconductivity in this workshop. But nevertheless, it is a nice phase, and the reason why I like this phase, because you can test all your ideas very nicely. It is a weak coupling regime. So essentially, I test this trick with color superconductor. All calculations under complete theoretical control. And the question I am asking, what kind of instantons, anti-instantons, whatever you have here, how do they interact? And typically, when people start from semi-classical approximations, they say instanton, instanton, they don't interact, instanton, anti-instantons. They interact like crazy, 1 over g square, and it's exactly what actually Herbert was worried about. But nevertheless, what I demonstrate the following, and this is just under complete theoretical control, this part. That interaction is completely different from what you naively expect, just completely different. And after that, I try to apply this trick to UCDN zero temperature. In this case, not everything is under complete theoretical control, but nevertheless, the big picture, which I want to argue is correct, is very similar to actually what Pierre presented this morning. Mainly, that instantons and anti-instantons are not good degrees of freedom when you have the interaction which is strong. You have to use completely different degrees of freedom. And when you talk to condensed matter people, the most important question they try to answer, what are the good degrees of freedom? So essentially, once they know what are the good degrees of freedom, they can go ahead and they actually explain phenomena. The problem with high TC superconductors, because essentially we don't know what the good degrees of freedom are. Again, I try to follow exactly condensed matter mentality, condensed matter logic. I want to argue that this is instanton quarks are good degrees of freedom. Okay, the reason why I actually can use this trick, because I keep this nice parameter, theta parameter, and it is some kind of messenger from Carlless degrees of freedom, because we definitely know in Carroll Lagrangian theta is a very nice parameter, and we definitely know how does it come into the game. But at the same time, you know that theta in original Lagrangian comes together with very nice combination, which tells you what is topological charge and how it is distributed. So essentially, the point is the following: once you keep what's happening with the theta parameter, you formulate all your questions in terms of colorless degrees of freedom, and you know them very well because it is an effective Lagrangian. And after that, you try to interpret these results in terms of topological charges, because it's exactly what you have in front. So this is the logic of the presentation. So as I said, I want to give a big picture. I don't want to discuss some kind of specific details. Okay, as I said, that there is a very nice phase which I like, color superconductor, and you can test this idea very nicely. You can use this trick and you can check how it works. So let me just say a few words about color superconductivity. Anyhow, people will discuss this color superconductor probably in this workshop many times, but this is probably the first talk on this color superconductor, and let me say a few things about color superconductor. Just like in condensed matter physics, if you have a system and you have some kind of interaction between on the Fermi surface, in this case, what you typically have, you have a superconductor. And if it is a quark, in this case, you have a color superconductor. It's very similar to what we have in normal superconductivity. And the way how it works in color superconductors, there are many different phases. I don't want to discuss all these phases. But essentially, what you have diquark condensates to be non-zero, and the symmetry is broken in this way for specifically CFL phase. There are many different phases, and again, as I said, I don't want to discuss the details. The most important part for me, the way how I describe Goldstone modes, because essentially what I want to do, I want to construct, first of all, chiral Lagrangian for the field. And we definitely know in this phase specifically, U1b, it is a baryon charge. Spontaneously broken electromagnetic charge in this specific phase is not broken. The most important part for me would be exactly U1a. It plays just crucial role in everything what I'm going to say. It is a broken definitely spontaneously and explicitly by instantons. The important part that essentially I can handle instantons here very nicely in this case. So the most important part for me is just exactly this phase. Okay, so essentially you can immediately write down effective Lagrangian. You know it is a correct. This is exactly what has been done many years ago. Not many, but a couple years ago. But let me just demonstrate explicitly the way. So this is the axial field, and this is a theta, and you know that there is a very nice theorem which tells you that theta comes into the game, and it is in QCD, and in this specific, actually, color superconductor, comes into the game in very specific combination. And this is exactly what word identity tells you. There is no other way around, and actually, there is a very simple explanation, because when you do chiral transformation, in this case, your measure in path integral is not invariant, so you get exactly such kind of contribution when you make this chiral transformation in front of FF dual, and theta exactly goes together with FF dual, so this is the only combination which is allowed in our theory, and this is exactly what you would expect. Okay, let me show the way how you do calculations. Idea is the following, that you use definitely normal instantons. You know this very nice formula already for many years, so this is just... Yes, every just color superconductor. I assume it is a weak coupling regime. So essentially, the way how I treat instantons, I take small instanton.
Or the delta in front of the cosine.
Or delta, it is a gap. It is a gap. Again, it is a just some number.
Oh, so the breaking of the U and A is not an anomaly?
It is anomaly breaking. Okay, it is
so
definitely.
Why is it small?
Okay, because I'll show exactly. I can explicitly calculate it. So it is a very, very small, and this coefficient is extremely small. But before I do calculations, let me just actually answer on the question.
Mu is chemical potential.
Yeah, mu is the chemical potential.
Mu
delta
is
the gap. Mu is very large. As I said on the very first page, mu is much, much larger than lambda 2CD. In this case, all calculations are under control. So essentially, the coefficient A is proportional to instanton contribution. And you know that typically you don't have this term. And all your problems are related to this rho, B, d rho. And in this case, you say, OK, it is a large instanton contribution. Forget about it. When you have chemical potential is large, in this case, what happens that instantons they have typical size 1 over mu, because this is exactly what you have extra in your formula. So essentially, instanton like in Higgs phase, large instanton contribution is suppressed. All calculations can be explicitly done. And the way how people do this calculation, they use let's take small instanton. In this case, all calculations are under control. You have a background. You consider all these psi fields. It is exactly a Toft determinant, essentially. You discuss all these fields, chiral fields in this background. You write down effective Lagrangian. It has Filsonian sense. And after that, the next step, you say, OK, but I definitely know that I am in a color superconducting phase. In this case, I want to average all these quarks exactly in the phase which I know to be correct. So essentially, I consider this averaging. And you can explicitly calculate this averaging. Non-trivial part, you remember that phi was eta prime field, and theta was exactly in front of it. So you have exactly theta here. You have phi, which you get when you actually consider expectation value for all these fields. And you get exactly theta minus phi as expected. So it's precisely what you would expect, but what I am saying that all calculations are under control, and you explicitly see how all this word identity work precisely. And all coefficients can be explicitly calculated. So mu, it is a chemical potential, which is a large. This is a gap. This is all formula which you know very well. And you get exactly this cosine, which you actually derived without any instanton calculations on the basis just word identities. And you have exactly cosine as expected. Why is it so? Because instanton calculations are under complete theoretical control. Small instanton describes the physics. And again, you definitely know that in this very nice phase, eta prime is very light. I take the chiral limit, but nevertheless, you can just discuss not chiral limit. And again, we know that the contribution for quarks is small, so let me take the limit where. So anomaly is suppressed like crazy. Eta prime is very light. My description in terms of effective Lagrangian is well justified because it is a light field. It's much smaller than lambda 2CD. So everything what I said is perfectly justified, absolutely correct. So it just theoretically correct. And it's exactly what it's expected from the very beginning. You have instanton, anti-instanton. So everything what I said looks absolutely trivial. So essentially, the only what I did, I calculated a coefficient in the Carroll Lagrangian because I know it is a weak coupling regime. And now the trick comes. Okay, so essentially, this is the main point. I want to explain this trick because essentially I want to use this trick later on for normal QCD. Because now I want to present a few technical details. Again, it has been known for many, many years. You know, people use this trick. I learned this trick from Polyakov's paper, I guess, 77, maybe even earlier. with monopoles in 2 plus 1, but nevertheless, for condensed matter people who did statistical mechanics, definitely they use this trick for many years. And it is not necessarily a trick related to two dimensions, what people typically do in O3 sigma model, and not necessarily to three dimensions. It's just for effective Lagrangian, it's okay. So, this is something we derived. This coefficient is related to the anomaly. It is suppressed, this coefficient is small. So the trick is that you write down this term, cosine, in terms of some charges. You have no idea what charges are. There is no understanding of the physical meaning of these charges. It is simply some kind of very formal way to derive one partition function in terms of something, another partition function, and you don't see the physical meaning of these charges you introduced, right? That's not obvious. And you have charges plus and minus one, and after that, this parameter, instead of n factorial, you get n plus and minus factorial, and just the standard formula. And after that, you look at the this line, and you say, oh, it is exactly classical partition function of the identical particle M, and you sum over all of them, in the external potential, which is given by some phi. And you remember, I originally introduced this phi as eta prime field. So essentially, I write down the partition function in something which actually is much more complicated. And it is not clear why it is interesting once you have already effective chiral Lagrangian. And the reason actually for that is the following. Once you have this very nice expression I discussed before, you can definitely integrate our phi. It is exactly quadratic formula. So essentially, you can integrate out phi field. And what you left with is just a Coulomb-Gauss representation for the original partition function for the Sine-Gordon model, which describes eta prime physics. So
this is one point. I mean, the Lagrangian is effective.
Yeah, and here it's
only the long distance.
It's only long. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it is the only long distance physics. There is no way you can discuss what is inside. And this effective low energy Lagrangian exactly tells you that it is some kind of particles, Coulomb-Gauss representation for the particles. Fugacity, it's exactly my eta prime coefficient A, which I calculated previously, and it is small. You sum over all of them, and I still keep this theta. And the reason why, so they're exactly equivalent at the very large distances. And the reason why I keep this theta is the following. Now let's discuss the physical meaning. This is the most important part, actually. I keep this theta, and after that I say, oh, but theta originally, okay, this is exactly the Ga, Coulomb-Gauss representation, and let me just keep this Coulomb-Gauss representation such that you see actually what's happening. You keep this theta, I introduce these charges from nowhere. I have no idea what physical meaning of these charges. I definitely know that this partition function is equivalent to something which I know perfectly well. And after that, I say the following. Physical meaning of these charges, it is a total charge. This is a total charge for the configuration. And total charge of what? It is a topological charge because it comes in front of theta. So essentially, as I said, I just write down some kind of representation which does not remember, does not know anything about actually topological charge. You remember, I started from chiral Lagrangian, which has colorless degrees of freedom. I didn't say a word about topological charge. It was something very, very different. But nevertheless, coming back, I say, I definitely understand that, that this charge, which I introduced from nowhere, it's definitely a topological charge. It is non-trivial point. And after that, I say that each charge here should be identified with a topological charge well localized at this point XA. Because just look at this Coulomb-Gauss representation. We definitely know what these charges are. We know not only about total charge, we know about each given charge. So this is a something which comes already from somewhere else. And after that, I say that definitely there is a support in such kind of identification. Because each time you bring one extra charge into the system, it comes with a fugacity A. And fugacity A, you remember the way how I calculated A. It definitely comes with this coefficient. So you definitely see that topological charge 1 comes each time you put one extra particle. Okay, so essentially the reason why I can do all these calculations, and everything is self-consistent and everything is under theoretical control, it's very simple. You have a hierarchy here. You have definitely the size of the instanton. You remember I mentioned this four. Okay, let me just write down. No, I just I need couple of. You remember I discuss this formula with instantons. You definitely have a scale which is related to this scale, which is the size of the instanton. And this is exactly what you say. You cannot go actually to the small distances. For sure you cannot, because actually you integrate it out all relevant degrees of freedom. There is actually larger part which is related to the cutoff. You remember the way how actually I discuss effective Lagrangian. I say that this is effective Lagrangian for light degrees of freedom, much lighter than any gap you have in your field theory. Therefore, only in this sense, this effective Lagrangian makes sense. And definitely you have a gap. Gap is definitely larger than inverse. Now, once you have actually classical statistical ensemble, you definitely can calculate what is the typical distance. And this is a typical distance, and this typical distance is related to A, small parameter, and mu and delta, which comes in front of instanton, not instanton. And there is a Debye screening, which is a larger scale. In my original terminology, it would be eta prime mass, which is a very, very large. But in terms of instanton, anti-instanton, it is exactly very large scale. So essentially, this is a very, very important that you can do everything, and everything is under control because you have hierarchy, and because you can just keep mu as a free parameter, you can make mu is large as large as you want. But there is a very non-trivial statement I can make immediately from this Coulomb-Gauss representation. Oh, sorry, I can just do this job for you. I'm surprised that nobody actually immediately against this formula. I remember when I did it. When I discussed in Brookhaven, Pisarsky immediately said, oh, it cannot be right. 15 years ago, I did it, and I calculated instanton, anti-instanton. But after that, he definitely sent me apology, but nevertheless, you know, Pisarsky. So essentially, this formula essentially is extremely non-trivial. What it says that instanton, instanton, and instanton, anti-instanton. They interact exactly in the same way, which is an absolutely crazy idea if you just talk to Shuryak, you talk to Dyakonov, you talk to Pisarsky, you talk to anyone, they would say, oh, it cannot be right. Why is it so? Because they come from a semi-classical approximation, and they say, instanton, instanton, they don't interact. It's exactly what you said in the classical limit. Yes, of course they don't. Instanton, anti-instanton, they interact like crazy, 1 over g square. It's correct. But we are talking about what distances? When we are talking about very large distances, it's exactly the physics I want to describe. The story is completely different. So essentially, this is a lesson to be learned. And the lessons are that starting point was very nice, effective chiral Lagrangian, which knows nothing about topological fluctuations, just nothing, because you have normal psi bar psi, you have normal pi meson, you have eta prime, you have no idea what topological charge is. Nevertheless, I just do some kind of tricks, and I say something about actually instantons. And I say something about the interaction of the topological charge because I have made this identification. And the reason why I can make this identification, I keep this theta parameter, which knows about both sides of our life, about color and about colorless degrees of freedom. And this is exactly the reason why I can make this identification. Once I made this identification, I say the interaction at the large distances is completely different from what you actually learned in high school. So essentially, very complicated picture of bare instanton-instanton interaction and instanton-anti-instanton interactions becomes extremely simple. It is a trivial Coulomb-like. They interact exactly in the same way, exactly with the same charges, on the very large distances. And typically, people, when you ask Shuryak or Dyakonov, can you describe instanton, anti-instanton interactions? They say, oh, it's very complicated because it depends on orientation, it depends on the sizes, it's just very complicated. And what I say here, it's very simple, at very large distances. Once you integrate at our all these degrees of freedom, all rotations, in this case, in my language, instantons, it just does not have any orientation, anything. So essentially, once you integrated all this stuff, once you take into account integration over all possible sizes, orientation, color orientations, interaction with the background due to all other stuff, the interaction picture is extremely simple and very nice. So let me say again. I did not derive this picture from the very beginning from the semi-classical approximation. I don't know how to do it. What I am saying that there is a very nice parameter in my hands, parameter chemical potential, and I can play with this parameter. And I definitely know how to actually do calculations for the effective chiral Lagrangian. Everyone knows how to do it. The non-trivial trick, when actually comes back to the instanton, anti-instantons, tells you that essentially interaction is quite non-trivial at the large distances, and it is just exactly Coulomb-like. And there is nothing more but Coulomb-like interaction.
What do you mean by dressed instanton?
Okay, so what do I mean by dressed instantons? Let me just come back to... You see that the point here is the following. I have no idea how instanton looks like in this picture. I didn't start from the instant on with all the scalar degrees of freedom. And the only what I do, I keep this parameter theta. And after that, I introduce some crazy charges. But nevertheless, I identify these crazy charges with the topological charge. And the reason why I can make this identification, because they come exactly with theta parameter. So when I say dressed instanton, essentially what I mean, but it is not really original instanton. It is a charge, and there is no more information about it. So it means that essentially when you get this picture, you already integrated out all degrees of freedom.
Except the center.
Except something which is non-trivial. Except that only total charge remains. And otherwise, and that's it. So you integrated everything except something. And this something which shows up in the picture, which Cairo Lagrangian definitely knows nothing about color degrees of freedom. It is a colorless. But nevertheless, because of theta, I definitely know it is a total charge. It is a definitely gauge invariant object. So the only information remains. It is a total charge. I definitely understand that. When I say dressed or bare, that is, yeah.
Some of you have made, you have this, what you know is that it has to be some periodic function of
yes.
Pi A minus theta.
Correct.
But it could be not a cosine.
Okay, in this case, I derived precisely and exactly. Let me just come back. It is a very good question. And it's very important question.
You did have that on your transcript.
Yeah, I did have it. And I specifically mentioned why do I have exactly cosine. I have cosine and nothing else. In these calculations, where instanton calculations under complete theoretical control. You're absolutely right, because just next step, I discussed QCD, chemical potential is zero, theta non-zero, situation is much more complicated. Nevertheless, I discuss what kind of picture you would get. In this case, you definitely know it. Theta must come as a theta over NC. You definitely get everything. It's coming. But nevertheless, in this specific calculation, my claim is everything, each line is under complete theoretical control. Because all instanton calculations I have been doing here are based on the suppression of large instantons. So each coefficient is calculated. It is not from nowhere. It's from Toft formula. So essentially, this is nothing but cosine.
I tell you what I'm confused about.
Yeah.
It is confusion. It is not that I know one way or another. I remember the calculation. So what does Tuff do? Tuff says it's rather than doing dilute gas calculation or something, it's easier to calculate the vertex and then use effective Lagrangian technique to exponentiate it. That's how you, right? When you calculate, since you have three colors, three flavors.
Yeah, well, I can do this with three, with two.
Important.
No, just it's absolutely irrelevant. I can just, there is a flavor part here. So essentially, low energy. Okay, so again, let me.
Basically, something special happened that I don't understand.
Okay, but what I'm talking about.
Comes only from the zero modes.
Yeah. Everything comes here. Again, let me come to this picture, to this formula.
I get the calculation that you are mentioning is missing between my head. Okay.
Okay, let me explicitly say what you are missing. This is essentially Toft Lagrangian with his density. The only difference here, I wanted to specifically give this formula. The only difference that typically you don't write this term. So which tells you that all your instantons are suppressed, 1 over mu. And this is something which actually.
I remember a four-core interaction.
You're talking about mu equals zero, yeah, right?
So
yeah. In this,
you
know, so okay, yeah. Okay. If mu equals exactly zero, you have exactly the same problem we have been discussing. You have divergence in the raw. You don't understand the physical meaning. All calculations are not under control. You don't know what to do, and people stop doing this, and that's it. We come later in a few minutes. Oh. But now I'm talking about, as I said,
no,
you know.
How you get a
vortex
non-zero? What exactly is happening?
Mu is a very large baryon charge. It is a chemical potential.
He wants to see the four fermion vertex.
Oh, okay. It's two completely different sides of the story. When mu is non-zero, you do exactly the same calculations. You have exactly the same zero modes. And after that, you say, okay, I have a small instanton. It does not matter is it small instanton because of the dynamics or because you keep in hand your small instanton. It depends. Okay, number of zero modes, you mean gluon zero modes or fermion zero modes? Fermionic zero modes. In this case, you have definitely NF zero modes.
Okay.
And these zero modes are explicitly written down here. Here, actually, for two. I'm sorry. Yeah, if it is a three color, in this case, you have three.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, but now it is for NF equal 2. I just copied my formula for NF equals 2. In this case, it is a 2SC.
Now I come to my... So the e to the i... What is confusing to me is that the e to the i theta goes with, you know, a NF...
Correct. This is exactly the NF.
But the phi, the field phi, the eta field goes only with stoop size.
Okay, that's wrong. Okay, because, okay, I now understand the picture. Because the phi which you have in mind, it is a phi in your real life in 2CD when chemical potential is zero.
Okay.
And the way how I define my eta prime, because essentially you have color superconductor, and it is actually four fermions for, so it is a billion, diquark. And if you want to know, but nevertheless, the question is quite non-trivial because essentially you want to know what is the real periodicity for phi field.
Yeah.
It goes far away from actually what I wanted to say, but nevertheless, real periodicity can be reconstructed, can be calculated when you actually write down all possible gauge invariant objects with this eta prime phase. It could be determinant, it could be diquark, what I discussed. And in this case, you can explicitly find out what is the periodicity for eta prime field is. And what I am saying that eta prime field goes exactly with theta with a coefficient 1.
For any NF?
No. This diquark?
In this phase.
So if you have not three colors, but 15 colors.
15 colors, you don't have you don't have asymptotic freedom and stuff.
16.
It is absolutely correct statement,
so
that you can absolutely
colors.
You can find out the periodicity for theta. For phi axial field by looking at actually the way absolutely, and that's absolutely correct. So essentially, you know, right now people typically say, okay, I don't care what is the definition for eta prime. They can say it is a UU plus DD plus SS square root 3 or F pi square root 2, whatever. They don't care when they do not discuss periodicity with respect to this field. In order to find out what is the appropriate periodicity, you have to look actually how this field transforms, and you have to look at all gauge invariant objects, and you can find out. In this case, everything, all questions you ask, can be answered. And
the bottom line is that you have this because of the superconducting phase, you should think about the eta as made up of.
You can say so, yeah, because x is absolutely, yeah, you can say so, yeah, it is a not psi bar psi,
right.
It is a x which I describe, it is a diquark, diquark, but anyhow, periodicity can be actually discussed, okay, the most important part, peace in mind, right? So, nevertheless, the most important actually part I wanted to say here that there is a big difference between instantons, which actually people have in mind when discuss semi-classical approximation, because they definitely know what the configuration is about. But nevertheless, it is not the most important part, because when you discuss large distance physics, it's completely different story. Because as I said, it turns out that at a large distances, I can explicitly calculate the interaction. Explicitly, and I definitely know it is correct, because everything is under control. But it is actually dressed instantons. It is not really original. Now we come to actually, we are talking about instantons. You can actually forget about superconductivity, because essentially, let me just, again, this is a very small point, but nevertheless, you know that people say instantons can do everything, chiral symmetry breaking, U1 problems, they can solve just... Yeah, it depends on what from what community you you come from. But nevertheless, yeah. Typically people say definitely you can solve all these problems. But nevertheless, people say we cannot produce confinement, and that's absolutely correct, because instantons are small, and we definitely see instantons are small here. They're definitely suppressed. We definitely see that everything is just what we expected. Instantons do the job except confinement, and confinement it is not there. It is not in color superconductivity, you do not have confinement. Now,
this is in Act 1.
It is what?
Here, no, earlier is this morning. So this this phase is a counterpart of the high temperature phase, right? Deconfined phase.
Okay, yeah, in this case, let me just say, because. Yeah. You know, I skip this part because... Okay, I skip this part, but nevertheless, this temperature. So typically, if you look at the textbooks, early 80s, 90s, if you look at just normal textbooks, people say, okay, this is a phase diagram, and when people, this is a just normal hadronic phase where we live, and this is a quark gluon plasma, and people didn't discuss anything else, people started to discuss something else, as I mentioned, in quite recently, in late 90s, and realized that the actually picture is very different from this one, because when chemical potential is large, in this case, fermions. you have many fermions, and actually you have instability on the Fermi surface, and you make a color superconductor for very large mu. It is so-called CFL phase for NF equals 3. What's happening here, it is not clear. There are many, many different phases, and Dominic probably will discuss how many phases we have, just many different phases. It could be some phases where actually extra fields condensed. For example, K condensation, it could be many, many other phases. I don't want to discuss this picture, but nevertheless, if you are from condensed matter community, you look at this picture, you say, oh, it's exactly what we study, except that instead of chemical potential, put doping. Yeah, indeed, essentially here, and just for high TC superconductor, in high TC superconductors, they say it is an antiferromagnetic, it is a superconductor, and we try to understand what is in the middle.
Okay, just
what?
From the liquid.
You don't know. Okay, but nevertheless, I am talking about this phase. Now, non-trivial point comes. Non-trivial point comes, because essentially the only reason why I mentioned about color superconductor, because I wanted to test the trick. That essentially this trick, everything is under control, so it really makes sense to do these transformations to see what kind of results you get. So here I come already.
I could have just told just you know Higgs the theory, right? Higgs QCD, because it's not your QCD.
Okay.
But then we'll get the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not even all plus, just usual.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because the only reason why I need high TC, not high TC, color superconductor, because I wanted to suppress instantons, And once I suppress instantons, I can do all calculations, and all results come exactly from this point. If you can suppress instantons by any other means, you get exactly the same.
Okay.
Yes.
Screen color.
Yeah.
Screen
yeah.
Color in general.
Exactly. You're screening, and after that, what I'm saying, there is a quantum phenomena, 1 over x squared, Coulomb gas representation. So you definitely get as a quantum phenomena that actually they still interact like crazy. They interact exactly in the same way, but it is not original interaction. Mm-hmm. It is a quantum part. Okay, let me just do something less trivial. So essentially, this is already...
So suppose it's just a small correction, it wasn't an exact calculation.
No, of course not. Because essentially, yeah, of course. When you have, yeah, it is just nothing but the density, essentially a density square in this case. You have a cosine. No, essentially what it, periodicity. Yeah, yeah. Essentially, they interact in not a little bit, not exactly in the same way. More than that, you have not only just instantons. You have, if you put here cosine 2 phi,
yeah.
In this case, you would get charges 2. So with a specific fugacity, which is suppressed because of the 2 instant n square.
That would be more precise. That if the cosine happens to turn out into this, which is a charge.
Then
the del squared will become del squared plus u squared, and then you won't have the 1 over
high mu, you know that everything is analytically simple.
Yeah, for high mu, everything is under control. You asked me about the next cosine, and I said that definitely there. It is proportional to n squared. They have fugacity. If you just study the statistical ensemble, you can measure what is the probability to form all this stuff. It's not interesting. Because it just...
No, what I really wanted to see is that the interaction really is all over x minus y squared when x and y are very far away for these two locations.
Okay,
so
you can...
I wanted to see that no mask is generated.
Nevertheless, okay, but essentially the mass does appear the way, you know, I mentioned the previous, actually, you
I came late, so.
No, there's a problem, no? Okay, let me just give the previous part. Okay, so essentially you do have Debye screening. No matter, it is a long distance interaction in plasma. You do have a Debye screening.
So eventually,
of course not. Essentially, you know, there is a plasma. Definitely, plasma is strongly interacting part. There is a long distance interaction. It is neutral plasma. You have many different parameters, including Debye screening. Debye screening eventually comes. And it gives you exactly the mass. By the way, it is exactly eta prime mass in my original language, in the terminology of the statistical ensemble. It is Debye mass. It is exactly one and the same. So essentially, okay. Now, as I said, non-trivial point comes. Okay, I want to repeat everything what I said for the chiral Lagrangian, and this is exactly where non-trivial point comes. First of all, you are not surprised that actually you have theta over nc behavior, and this all cosines which come from the chiral psi bar psi, it's exactly supposed to be. But non-trivial part here, why do I use exactly this cosine and not some kind of function which is just could be very, very different? And again, there are two different approaches to see how actually it comes. The first one, if you look at the very old Veneziano paper when he discussed U1 problem, what he did, he calculated the correlation function for topological density k points. So essentially not just 1, 2, 3, just arbitrary number of them. And what he noticed, that essentially one and the same parameter comes into the game, 1 over nc, 2k times. He definitely said something wrong. We actually know what is the appropriate appropriate interpretation for this cosine theta over nc. But nevertheless, you see, once 1 over nc k times, it definitely implies cosine. You differentiate k times and you get exactly cosine and nothing else. Second point, that in all supersymmetric models, again, differentiate it, because you differentiate.
Yeah, but I mean it's one over
nc. Even power.
You differentiate with respect to theta. K times.
But it's just the order.
No, no, no. Here it is a 1 over nc in Veneziano paper.
Right.
Precisely.
There's only a finite one.
Huh?
It's, yeah, there are finite 1 over nc.
Finite in, yeah. Nevertheless, let me just say, because I don't want to mention specifically about other things about what I have to say, because I derived this part in a completely different way. If you look at supersymmetric models, definitely there is a 2-pi periodicity. It is not what Veneziano have said, because the way how you have 2-pi periodicity, you must sum over all these branches, okay. And this is exactly the way how it works. So you have many different branches. So essentially, you just you have this sign for, let's say, for n equals 2, it is a 4-pi, but nevertheless, you do know it is a 2-pi periodicity, and the way how it works, you just jump here, and this is exactly where CP violation might be violated when you have actually crossover, many, many interesting stuff. I don't want to discuss all this stuff, but nevertheless, you do have 2-pi periodicity, and the way how people realized how this 2-periodicity comes about because people study supersymmetric models, and this is exactly what's happening in supersymmetric models, and independently in Young-Mills theory, I remember that I wrote many years ago a paper that if you introduce just it could be derived from so-called low energy word identities, f square, ff dual, f square, f dual, so you make some kind of analytical f square plus ff dual, and they have exactly the same coefficients. And in this case, you can get this cosine. But nevertheless, it is not very precise point because you have to know how you regularizations and all this stuff, because f square, ff dual, they require regularization. You have to explain what kind of word identity you have in mind, how you subtract. But what I am saying that it just, if you do exactly what you do in supersymmetric models with analyticity, you get very similar result. It was not the main point. Now, what I want to do, exactly what I have done actually with color superconductor. I do exactly the same trick because it's exactly cosine. I do this expansion. I have many, many, many different charges, but non-trivial. And again, you get exactly the same result because you know there is no difference between this cosine and previous cosine. The only difference, because you have cosine theta over nc, you have charges different. Otherwise, everything is the same. So you do this expansion.
Well, that's why I'm surprised that you have set up the total charge. So the charges will be now 1 over fractions of 1 over.
Wait a second. The only what you know, you just it comes. Just please try to wait. I'm not asking to wait, try to wait. So essentially, what I am saying the following. You sum over all possible charges. And the only what you know, the only information which is available from the chiral Lagrangian, because again, you don't start from real instantons. You have no idea what these charges are. You introduce it from nowhere. You know that for each given configuration, this is a total charge. Okay, this is the only what I want to say. Why is it so? Because this is a total charge, topological charge. And now, the point I am making, that there is a fundamental difference between actually the previous discussion when I discussed color superconductor and discussion for QCD, because in this case, you have 1 over nc, which is exactly, we know, is the correct behavior. And this is a direct consequence of 1 over nc, theta over nc dependence in the original QCD. Okay, so the next point that, but you do know that there is a 2-pi periodicity, and after that, the next logical step, that each charge is 1 over nc. And in order to have the total charge, which must be integer because it is a conjugated with theta, which has 2-pi periodicity, the total number of particles must be proportional to nc. And now the non-trivial point is the following. Yeah, that's true, but nevertheless, just for each given configuration, definitely you may have plus and minus, but you may have exactly 1 over nc, 1 over nc. Exactly, this configuration is allowed. It is not prohibited anyway. And now the non-trivial point is the following. Now let's try to count how many actually integration in my ensemble d4x we have. And the total number of configuration, it is definitely 4. As I said, proportional to nc, 4 because d4x, it is a four-dimensional world, times integer number, 4ncK. And once you see 4ncK, you immediately say, wow, I saw this formula in 1979. It is exactly the number of zero mods for k instanton background. It is a moduli space description. Therefore, it is just almost trivial conjecture. As I said, this conjecture comes from physics, which is lower energy chiral Lagrangian.
Sorry, yeah. Where
did
the k come from?
K is just any integer number, could be anything, because right now, but nevertheless, for nc, k, it is a loud configuration when you want to keep 2-pi periodicity, 2-pi, 2-pi, just integer.
To emphasize point four, it shows that what
couples
to theta always has to be an integer.
Yes.
That's why
integer. It is not just integer one, it is integer k.
Any integer.
And okay, definitely identify later on that this is, I already identified that this is a total topological.
So this point because
yeah, that's exactly it's crucial.
You have this bunch of things that can be positive or negatively charged, and they carry 1 over nc charge each.
Correct.
And you say, if the total number of things were not proportional to nc, but
yeah,
integer, I never would get an integer charge. Therefore, I need that the total number of things be exactly divisible by nc.
Yeah.
That's the logic.
Yeah, that's the logic.
And
the most
other configurations.
Yeah.
Which
could be zero, for example, as you say, plus 1 over c minus
nc.
It's still integer. K equals zero, it's still integer.
No, I can have 4 guys which have 1 over nc and 15 guys which have minus 1 over nc.
Correct. Yeah, definitely such kind of configuration still satisfies this criteria. It would be still proportional to 4ncK.
Why?
K,
but it would not have the total topological charge and integer.
No, what I, but K, arbitrary K.
Then his position would not have
2 pi. 2 pi. I am saying that in front of.
So you have to argue further that not.
No, I am saying that there is a 2 pi periodicity. I am saying that there is a theta and there is a total topological charge. And what I am saying that this total topological charge must be integer. Because
so
theta, it comes.
You
can say it is a constraint, but it is something we believe.
It's more than just saying that you have NC guys. It is really the constraint, yeah, that you add up all of.
For NC, yeah, for NC guys. But what I'm saying, more than that, but
that
K, it is okay. What you are saying that it could be instantons, 2 instantons, and 1 antins,
right.
That's true, it is still there, because K, it is just total charge, it is not exactly the number for NCK, only instantons. Okay, I understand your point. Yeah, that's correct. Okay, this is a conjecture that it is related to the instanton quarks. And now, yeah, sure.
Say we really, I mean, not in hand, but you know, logically, we suppose we start a pure
Young-Mills
class with matter, then we integrate over probability we want to use freedom and keeping on instant time. Getting down to this effective advantage. And I thought that at some point we are integrating over instant time, color orientation, and all those things, right?
Correct.
Suddenly, at the end of the day, we are popping out with a bag in terms of some new
topological charges.
Not just topological charges, but the constituent, right?
Yeah, some, okay.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's exactly the point.
I
that's true, but something is left.
It's equivalent to the location of this code.
Yes. You see what? That's true.
No.
What I'm saying, now I understand.
Pierre,
let me answer the question.
Look at him. Okay.
Let me try to answer. You integrated our all possible sizes, orientation, and something like that. But still, something is left, which is related to the large distances. You don't know what's left. And what I am saying, what is left, it is some kind of non-trivial, let me say, dressed instanton quark, which has very large interaction, large distance interaction. Again, let me again, as I said,
modulized space counting works by having a fractionally charged object.
So essentially,
only as a freedom its location if it has charged one over n.
And this is
n c of those objects times the topological charge times four for the counting of the number of parameters.
No, I have simple mismatching that is in the finger count.
Those parameters are continuously connected to the small scale instantons where you want to describe them in terms of color orientations and the scale parameters.
No, but in deriving this step,
in deriving
over
look
orientation.
Wait. The way how I derived.
Interpreting of the location of these constituents.
Yes.
So now we're
Okay. Yes, of course. Yeah. Of course. This is exactly the point. You write down your classical Carol Lagrangian. You integrate it out everything. And after that, I do some kind of inverse transformation.
Or ongoing integration.
Yes. What I say, it is a Coulomb-Gauss representation. You would say it really makes no sense. It is a much more complicated. I like my eta prime effective Lagrangian. What I am saying that I introduce all these extra integrations in the statistical model.
Okay.
And after that, I identify these charges, which I introduce, from nowhere.
Okay.
But nevertheless, I identify these topological charges with instanton.
What you're asking us is to accept that the fact that the number of collective coordinates just matches up is not an accident.
I find a little bit hard because.
Okay, so right now the only what I'm saying, it is a moduli space, number of collective coordinates, exactly what you learned in 70s. Now let me.
Relative to what you're saying. There was no special rule to 1 over nc. You were just saying that the thing would split into bits, and the bits had to add up. So what you said this morning was not equivalent to what you are saying will work for you. Namely, there's nothing special about 1 over nc. Just split into nc bits, then all add up to 1.
He had the news. The news. So the new told you that each
what is the relation between these two pictures remains to be seen, because essentially it is remains to be seen, because he comes, Pierre comes. Yeah, Pierre comes from semi-classical. I come from completely different side where I have no idea what instanton is. Nevertheless, there is some kind of...
You can make easily peace by deciding that the most relevant is when all of them are equally spaced and then the units are all equal.
Okay, just I have only one transparency left, and let me just say this transparency. Yeah, okay.
That's all we can say. There's consistency in the
picture. So your interpretation in terms of instanton quarks, it seems to me that the deconfinement upon quarks, is that right? I don't see any confinement on the...
Just you'll see. You'll see, actually. Right now, actually, Coulomb-Gauss, it's definitely instanton quarks. They interact like crazy, like Coulomb interaction, and it's exactly what I said before, the interaction...
Yeah, pictures this morning, we see that they're quarks, three of them together.
Yeah, but nevertheless, we are trying to make connection between these two pictures, because essentially I don't come from semi-classical. What I'm saying that you just do chiral effective Lagrangian and you get this picture, and this picture definitely is very similar to what actually Pierre discussed, and now connection, precise connection, is definitely missing. It's exactly the reason why I'm here and he's here. We are trying to understand. Okay, so now let me just mention that essentially this picture is not completely new actually for the physics, because in two-dimensional CPN models, instanton quarks actually have been introduced. And this is a very nice model in the sense that you just look at two-dimensional CPN model, let's say O3 sigma model. You have very nice formula for the measure. It has been calculated for one instanton, two instantons, three instantons, for everything. And each part, one instanton solution makes no sense. Rho is divergent, it just makes no sense to discuss this instanton like in Young-Mills. Two instantons make no sense, three instantons make no sense, etc., etc. You consider grand canonical ensemble, you sum them up, because you can do this technically in two dimensions. And after that, the picture is absolutely beautiful. There is no divergences, there is a very nice statistical ensemble, there is. And this is exactly Coulomb-Gauss representation, and it is exactly log qi qj log xi minus xj square. You sum over all this ij. But they did it just in the inverse transformation. They say, oh, this is a statistical ensemble. It is a Coulomb-Gauss representation. Let me write down the statistical ensemble in terms of Sine-Gordon model. They did it, and after that they say, oh, Sine-Gordon is so nice, you have definitely have a gap, and they express the gap. They definitely demonstrated confinement. They express the gap in terms of original fugacity for this gas, or in terms of original coupling constant for two-dimensional CPN model. So essentially, they definitely demonstrated the gap. They definitely observed that there is a confinement there. But the way how they did it, they started from instantons. Technically, it is much easier than in Glio dynamics. They sum them up, all of them, and they definitely know, they definitely knew that each one instanton, two instantons, three instantons, just garbage. But all of them in grand canonical ensemble, it's perfect picture, becomes extremely simple, and these charges are exactly 1 over nc for SUN, for SO3 sigma model, it is 1/2. So you definitely observe such kind of picture, so it is not something completely new, because this part, which actually Pierre is trying to convince you, comes from semi-classical approximation, and you end up with a confinement, and you definitely observe that such kind of picture. But nevertheless, so essentially, in this picture, each given instanton quark cannot be created, cannot be measured. It just because you don't have actually all this fractional topological charge on the semi-classical level. However, actually, as I said, this Coulomb-Gauss representation can be written down in terms of Sine-Gordon. You can actually calculate the gap, and this gap actually can be measured. It's exactly what instanton quarks would give you. And sorry, just one more transparency, and I am about to finish. Exactly the same actually can be derived for arbitrary gauge group, because in this case, in supersymmetric models, people would immediately recognize that this is exactly number of different vacuum states, and it's exactly the way how Gluin is transformed. But you can argue that this is a 4chi C2, and if you look at the old papers in the 70s, it is exactly a number of zero modes for instanton for arbitrary gauge groups. So, and let me just say exactly objection which people immediately say, and people like, for example, Shuriak or Diakonov, they say, oh, there is no way you can discuss confinement in this picture, because instantons, You know, I started from chiral Lagrangian where confinement is definitely there. So I am not proving confinement. It is definitely there from the very beginning. And what I am saying that in this theory, which is a confined theory, it describes instantons which interact exactly in this way. And they say it cannot be correct, never cannot be correct, because essentially what you say that all your instantons, they come from confined phase. And we definitely know that instantons no way can ever give you confinement. And Pierre agrees. It's exactly what this guy say, right? I'm not. Okay, this is exactly the last point, and I finish that. So there is no any contradiction, because when people say that there is no way to discuss confinement using the instantons, they definitely keep in mind small size instantons, don't overlap, dilute gas approximation, that's it. In this case, definitely you do not get confinement, never. But here a picture is very, very different, because essentially you don't see any instantons. All instantons are melt, they overlap like crazy. You actually introduce completely different degrees of freedom. I call this instanton quark. And in terms of this instanton quark, the confinement is definitely there.
So that's a bit of a mistake. You are showing that you are calculating, giving an expression, you are proving confinement on the basis.
Wait
of
a second. I started from the point where.
So somebody else could have provided for you some other mechanism to provide the confinement, and you showed that there is something that is the
No, no, just. You know, you have different logic. Let me say again. I started from the Lagrangian, which already has confinement.
Absolutely.
So no matter what I do, confinement is there.
Right. Not because of instantons necessarily.
Not because of instantons, right. But nevertheless, confinement is there.
But in terms of instanton quarks, because that's its effect on energy Lagrangian.
No, but that doesn't mean that effective also generates the phenomenon.
He has a way. You have a calculation, right?
Yeah, but nevertheless, I don't want to actually insist on any calculations. What I am saying, the logic which I have.
Yeah.
I have some kind of chiral Lagrangian, and chiral Lagrangian definitely is in confinement phase. For example, I discuss color superconducting Lagrangian.
I don't even know what that means. It, what it.
Okay, essentially, officially I finished, so essentially we can...